to me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. That's something about that work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 I'm in the caravan. You're listening to Whitworks Radio. It is Tuesday, October 8th, and this is Abby Pober from the Center for Cooperative Education and Career Development, and I'm here with two fantastic colleagues who I'm going to let introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kristen Ekman.
And this is Reid Kalinowski.
And we are here today to talk to you about the importance of cover letters, how to write a cover letter, what to include, and post-application follow-up. So we're going to start with our first topic of why you should write a cover letter. Really, the main goal of it is to convince employers that you are the right candidate to fill their position. And that's how you should open your cover letter. You want to talk about, of course, the position that you're applying for, and to convince them of your skills and how you would fill that position.
That's right. Think about the job description as the question, and your cover letter is the answer. So think about, when you're writing your cover letter, what skills does the employer care about? And that's what you should talk about within the cover letter. You know, if you have great communication skills, but the job is sitting behind a desk all day, they don't care about that. So think instead about those coding skills that they're going to be wanting you to have, and really highlight those. Because in terms of communication skills, the cover letter is actually, you can convey your communication skills without even mentioning it, because the act of writing a cover letter is a way to showcase those skills, even without specifically stating it.
But Rhea, I email the employers, and I have a resume. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that communicate my communication skills?
Yes, to some extent, but often employers, especially if there's a specific position where you're going to be interacting with clients or vendors, they want to see that you can create, you know, complete sentences, string them together to create coherent thoughts, and specifically with cover letters, they want to see how your skills and experiences from your resume match the position that they're looking for.
Okay. So I don't just want to take the sentences that I wrote on my resume and paste them into my cover letter?
No. Use the cover letter as a chance to tell more detailed stories about those experiences. So if the employer cares about your experience with Python, per se, for example, you have hypothetically a project or so or two or some experience on your resume where you've showcased your use of Python, but use the cover letter to go more in depth about that. And really show how you learn that skill.
All right.
And a cover letter is not just an email. We want it to be a more of a formalized letter, traditional letter format, to show also, again, your communication skills, varying communication styles as well.
Okay, so I can just write one cover letter and I'm good?
No.
All right.
You really have to tailor each cover letter to the position you're applying for. So once you write your first cover letter, you can use aspects of that to write each subsequent cover letter. But in each part of the cover letter, you have to address different aspects that are relevant to the employer. So Kristen was mentioning how in that first paragraph you want to convince them that you're the right candidate. And to do that, you need to do some research about the company, talk about why you're interested in that company, and what skills you bring to the table. So right away in that first paragraph, they see, oh, this person actually cares about the position. They've done some research about the company. They care about what we care about, and they have a few skills to offer that we're looking for. So that's really key in your introductory paragraph, that you hit them with that right off the bat so that they keep reading.
One thing I like to do when I'm writing a cover letter, and it's been a while now, but I always look at the job description and then see how I can answer specific questions about where I bring the most value. And so I sort of, I don't regurgitate what they wrote in the job description necessarily, but I sort of look to see, like, I can help, I'm going to solve this problem for you by doing XYZ.
And I think that I think that's helped me in the past, because you're getting some keywords in there. So if you are uploading this into an applicant tracking system, it'll pull those keywords. But two, you're speaking directly to what their problem is. Because at the end of the day, most employers are hiring people to solve a problem that they have or to solve a gap in needs, right?
Right.
So it's up to you to kind of explain to them how you're going to solve that problem.
Yeah, and what we teach in Co-op Institute is a T-chart. So on one side of the T-chart, you have, you know, important aspects that you pull from the job description. Like they're looking for organizational skills. They're looking for experience with circuits. They're looking for experience with customers. And then on the other side of the T-chart, you have your experiences that you can highlight that are relevant to those what they're looking for from the job description. So it kind of gives you a place to start when you're thinking about writing your cover letter. You can already see what you want to talk about based on what they're looking for from the job description, and then go on and go into more detail about those experiences and skills within the cover letter itself.
Exactly. And I think you did mention this earlier, Ria, how the cover letter is the answer to the job description, which is the employers are asking a question. Can you perform this job? Do you have these skills? And in your cover letter, you do provide them with that answer.
Exactly.
So that's a good way to think about that.
How long should a cover letter be?
One page only.
All right.
Yeah, and depending on the industry, it can really be quite succinct and, three paragraphs at the most. If you're going into more of a tech industry, a lot of those employers don't read cover letters. So if you do send one, if they are asking for one, it's good to kind of be, don't be too verbose. Don't go on and on within your cover letter, because if they see a page chock full of information, they may just skip over it because it's too long. If there are other industries where they are going to want to see a little bit more information, maybe like a business management student might be writing a little bit more, four paragraphs, but really 3 to 4 paragraphs in one page maximum is what we're looking at.
And are there ever a time when a student shouldn't write a cover letter?
Should not write a cover letter? Well, I mean, there are positions that don't require it. If you're trying to just apply to a bunch of positions at once, and you're not always going to write cover letters. If there's one particular position that's like your dream job, your dream company, even if they're not asking for a cover letter, it's a good idea to include it anyway, because it will set you apart from other students. So if you're just trying to send out a bunch of resumes and, you know, that type of thing, it's fine to not include a cover letter. If they're requiring it, you have to include it. If it's an option and you have the time to write a decent one, then do it. If you are sending a cover letter that's not great, don't bother, because you're just going to get your application thrown in the trash. And really be sure to read over your cover letter before you send it and have someone else read it over as well. I've had students bring the cover letters into me after they've sent it, and they have one company that they're talking about in the first paragraph, and at the end they're like, thank you so much, I'm really looking forward to an opportunity to work at a different company.
Mm-mm.
That's terrible.
And it is immediately noticeable. Recently read a cover letter from somebody, and they did not change the employer, like the name of the employer that they were applying to. And I picked it out right out of the cover letter. It was the first thing I saw was that it said a different school name.
Yeah, no thanks.
And that really defeats the purpose, because the whole purpose is to explain why you want to work with this specific employer.
Right, exactly.
And why you're passionate about them, and that you, you know, care about them. And if you don't, then that's going to be clear.
Exactly. I have a question that kind of goes with our second part of the show today about follow-up, but if, say, you read up the scenario where you're applying to many jobs at once and you might just be submitting your application with your resume, could you then go back and maybe follow up with a cover letter?
You could. It may not get read at that point. Mm-hmm. So I think you know, when you do your follow-up, you should write like a few sentences about why you'd be a good fit. I think that's a good thing to highlight. But I think at that point, you know, a page-long cover letter will not be be looked at very closely.
So typically, cover letter, resume, go with the initial application.
Yeah.
A couple of other important things is making sure that you know, if you can, who to address the letter to.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, if you can find the hiring manager, it's better to put their name than put it, dear hiring manager.
Definitely. Yeah, but if you can't find anyone, dear hiring manager is okay. But if their name is on the job posting and you don't have it on there, that looks not great.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can do like a simple search on their website or on LinkedIn to find someone within the team that you're applying for, or like a hiring manager at the company, then it's great if you can add someone's name to that. Or if you know someone who works there, ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good thing. Good as well.
Use your resources.
Exactly.
And another really important formatting thing is making sure that the header is the same as your resume header.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to be different, and it is noticeable if they are.
Yeah, and that's a really important branding aspect. So when someone looks at your resume next to your cover letter, you want them to look like similar documents. Use the same font, use a similar font size, use the same header, so they know that they're from the same person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it also shows that you have attention to detail, which if that's something that's important for the job, then you need to make sure that all your I's are dotted and your T's are kind of crossed in that sense, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is another reason why it's great to have someone else read it over before you send it, just to proofread. Because often when you spend a long time with any document, and you know, this goes for papers and other things as well, you can get too bogged down in the details and miss some simple errors that someone fresh, you know, reading it fresh will catch right away.
Exactly. And kind of going back to, this is in a traditional letter format, you do want to include your signature at the bottom. You will be typing this, but you can sign a piece of paper, somehow turn that into an image, and put that right in your cover letter. It's a nice touch. It shows that you're professional and thoughtful.
Yeah, the best way to do that is to just take a picture of it with your phone and then email it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you can access it through your computer.
Yep, insert the image right in there. So now that we have our cover letter, we want to talk about how we would send the cover letter.
Yeah.
And there are a few different ways. Really depends on how the employer is accepting their applications. Through what means, if they prefer that you email all of your documents to them, you can copy and paste your cover letter right into the body of the email, attach your resume, or any other documents that they requested. You can also turn it into a PDF, attach that right along with the PDF version of your resume. That goes for an online application portal as well as email. And you can also include it in your resume document. So if you just want one document, make sure all of your materials are in one place. You can have your resume and cover letter in one PDF.
Yeah, that's an important thing to consider if you're applying, especially on WitWorks, where they ask you to apply and often don't include a spot for a cover letter if they don't require it. If you want to send it anyway, you can create one document, like Kristen was talking about, with both the resume and cover letter, and just submit that in the resume spot for that specific employer.
And I want to ask Abby, our technology guru,
mm-hmm.
why are PDFs a good choice for a document?
PDFs are universally readable, so they will open in any internet browser. Somebody doesn't have to have a PDF viewer on their computer to open it. It kind of eliminates all the riffraff behind the scenes happening, all the code that might be used like if you're using a Mac Word versus a Microsoft Word, there can be some compatibility issues. The other thing that can be a problem with Word documents is that if somebody doesn't have the same font that you used on your document uploaded to their computer, it could look really wonky. You could have been using your bullets could end up looking like question marks or arrows or something. because their computer doesn't know how to code it right to display it to you. So if you send over a PDF, it's kind of locked in space as it is. The other reason is just to protect yourself. If somebody gets a Word document, they have the ability to change it on you. So they could say that, and this doesn't happen, but you want to protect yourself from somebody being able to edit your personal documents and say that you wrote something that you didn't, or take something that you wrote on there that you need to have on there, sort of thing. That does, it's not something that happens, but the I'm always a little wary with technology and people using my documents. So those are the main reasons you want to use a PDF.
Yeah, the formatting stays the same. Sometimes when you send like Word doc or Google Docs, like the formatting can like get wonky, where like the dates are like on the wrong line, and
that's all because the fonts are not reading the same
right
between systems.
Yeah, so just make sure do upload it as a PDF to WitWorks and to when you apply on company websites. So that everything stays the same on there.
Another recommendation I have for you is to sort of keep like a plate, like one place where you have all of these things, whether you email it to yourself so you can always grab it, or you use OneDrive because we're all here from Wentworth and so we have access to that. But if you have a place where you can always access this, if something happens, you have it ready to go right away. And that's a practice that I just use personally in case, because you never know, technology can be strange. But if you get the call saying, hey, we saw your application, but something like we couldn't read any of it, you can just forward it right along in an email.
That's great. That's a great idea. What about naming conventions in terms of the...
All right. So this is going to make a lot of people angry. Do not use punctuation in your naming. Do not use... Basically, don't use anything that's not an alphabet letter or a number. With the only character that can be read by all systems outside of alpha and numeric is an underscore, not a dash, an underscore. So in general, just avoid using any sort of punctuation. Use capital letters, lowercase letters, numbers, whatever you want, but do not add a punctuation. That can mess up code in a certain system. So one database might be coded to read a piece of punctuation and another won't. And so if you have a piece of, if you have punctuation in the name of your file, it's going to say, error, sorry, can't upload it. And the system might not even tell you that. It might just say, okay, uploaded, and then go on its merry way, but it never actually attaches it to your profile because it can't read it. And not all systems are as advanced as, not every system is as advanced as the others. So I can't give you an exact explanation of which one's going to do it and which one's not, because people are changing their, as many of our computer students know, people are changing their code and updating the way their systems work all on a daily basis in some cases. So just universally, systems are known to recognize alpha and numerical as far as naming conventions. And that was a long tangent, but I felt it was important.
No, I agree. This is especially important when you upload your documents to WitWorks, because that specifically does not read punctuation. So name your resume or, you know, your name, just letters and numbers. And for your cover letters, make sure that the name of your cover letter document has the name of the company in it, so you don't send that to the wrong company.
Mm-hmm. And I often, if I tailor my resumes to different companies, so it's usually like A. Pober, Wentworth Institute of Technology, May 2016.
That's great.
And then you kind of always know that that was set in time then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. So within the cover letter, you have to write a couple different paragraphs, like we mentioned, about three to four paragraphs. And that first one we kind of touched on is your introduction, why you're writing, you know, who you are, why you're interested in the position, and what skills you bring to the table. So that's that introductory paragraph. Paragraphs two, and if you have a fourth paragraph, the third one as well. So basically your middle paragraph or paragraphs talks about those skills that you have to offer and goes into a little more detail about how you've gained those skills and how you can bring those with you to the specific employer. And then the final paragraph is basically just thanking the reader and reiterating your interest in the position.
Exactly, and also a way to contact you at the very end. I mean, it should be also in your header, but a nice wrap-up sentence, you would provide the best way for you to be contacted.
Right.
And, of course, thank you for your time.
thank you for reading. This is a tangent, again, but when you're listing how you like to be contacted, if it's your phone number, make sure you have voicemail set up on your phone so that if the employer calls and you don't pick up, they can leave a voicemail. Make sure it's there's space there so they can actually leave a voicemail, and then check it. Check your voicemail.
I also want to add on to that voicemail thing. It should be a professional voicemail message that they're hearing. You don't want to hear, you don't want that, hey, pause. Oh, I'm not here right now. Yeah. Don't do that. That's not funny for anybody, but especially not for employers who probably started talking to leave their voicemail and then they realized that it wasn't time yet. They'll probably hang up on you actually and they won't call you back.
So make sure that your voicemail is a friendly greeting and is clear and easy to hear and that you'll actually respond when employers leave you a message.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was a tangent again. Sorry.
It's all very important to know.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of wraps up.
Should we take a break?
Cover letters, yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. We will be back in just a minute to talk about follow-up.
Exactly.
Great. Back, and Rhea has something urgent she needs to share.
Yes, I had one more thing to say about cover letters, and now I can't think of what it was. This is so terrible.
We're not going anywhere.
All right, if I think of it, we'll come back to it.
All right.
All right.
So, follow up. Let's proceed. So there are a bunch of different ways that you will follow up with employers throughout the job and co-op search process. So let's start with application following up. So you've sent a bunch of applications and you know it's been a few weeks and you're not hearing back. This is a great time for you to follow up with employers. And we actually have an application follow-up email sample handout for you to use on our website and on WitWorks. There's an email sample as well as a phone call. And I actually really recommend that students call when they're following up, because phone call is a little bit like less, you're less able to ignore them. They're, yeah, less ignorable. Is that a word?
Yeah.
So on the job posting, sometimes they have the contact information for someone. If they do, that's great. Use that. If not, go to the company's website, look for numbers to call, look for people's email addresses. Sometimes they actually have a careers, you know, at whatever company it is, email you can send, you know, an email to. But if they just a random number, you can call and ask for human resources or whoever the hiring manager is for the specific position that you've applied for, and just check in about where they are in the hiring process. If you are sending an email, it's great to include your resume and cover letter if you had sent it originally, so they don't just go searching for it. And you know, add something new to if you can. Say, you know, here's my updated resume. I'm still really interested in the position. And it doesn't come off as pushy or desperate. The plus of doing this is that if I'm a hiring manager and I have like 50 resumes sitting in my inbox and I haven't got around to looking through them, it's been a couple weeks since I received them, I don't know who from the, you know, 50 emails is still looking for a job. And if you call or if you email saying, hey, I'm still interested in the position, you know, I'm going to look at your resume first. So that gives you a better chance at the position and also helps the hiring manager kind of weed through those applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a great blog post on our website as well that Becky Smith wrote, who's another co-op and career advisor, about follow-up, why and how. So definitely check that out because there's some great quotes by some of other advisors. Sarah Dell says, you're actually helping the employer by following up. And Jer says, the tone is active in a follow-up communication. You know, give your reader a clear way to respond. So say when you're available for interviews and if it's getting close to the co-op deadline, share the deadlines with employers. And there's some examples of how to do that in that blog post as well. So that's a really useful document.
Definitely. I think what you said, Rhea, is that it is helpful to follow up. It does seem kind of scary. You're just kind of, you've submitted your application and now you're submitting this correspondence again into the unknown. But really, you need to know, as well as you want to give the hiring manager maybe an opportunity to, if you don't know if they just passed by your resume in their pile of 50 to 75 right. resumes on their desk. And you are also, like you said, I really think this is a really important point, which is why I'm reiterating, but you are expressing that you're still available and you're still really interested in the position.
Right. And you're taking a minute out of your time to go out of your way and express that interest, which makes you even more of a valuable candidate.
Exactly. And a way to do that too is also to offer your availability in there. So if you say, yes, I am still really interested in this position. Hopefully you do get them on the phone. Offer right then and there. If they say they are interested in interviewing you, give them your availability. So get that ball rolling while you're both there available to speak about it. And that'll only get your process going a little quicker as well as theirs. And they wouldn't have to, again, try and find a time to contact you again.
So what about the students who are kind of up against a timeline, whether it's the co-op deadline or they have a couple of offers on the table, and one has, like, I need to hear from you by next Friday or this Friday, and it's, let's say, Tuesday.
Sure.
What can students do?
Yeah, so typically if you've only applied somewhere and you have an offer from another company, there's not enough time to go through the interview process and all that. But if you have already interviewed somewhere, so say you've interviewed at Company A and Company B, and you haven't heard back from Company A, but you have heard back from Company B. Company B has given you an offer, but your dream company is Company A. That's when you follow up with Company A and say, hey, I have received another offer. You are my first choice. I have until Friday to get back to this other company. Where are you in the process? Is it possible for you to give me some idea about, you know, if I am a viable candidate for the role? Is it possible to extend an offer to me in that time frame? And if they can, that's great. And so it's good to kind of stay in good communication with all the people you're interviewing with, and do that diligent follow-up so that you can make an informed decision.
And I went a little off on my question. What I really meant to ask was, what if the student has maybe called it a little close to the co-op deadline, and they've got a bunch of applications out, but they haven't heard, but they're really kind of, like, we're 2.5-3 weeks out from the deadline, let's say. What can they say?
Yes. So then they should definitely tell employers, you know, I'm still really interested in this position. I do need to interview and have an offer by my school's deadline, which is, you know, whatever day it is, January 15th, for those going on spring co-op. And so that they have an idea of where you are, especially if they're considering their interview timeline and when they can squeeze people in. If you're, you know, a front runner for the interview process, they'll definitely find a way to fit you in.
Great.
Yeah, so I think the key that we're talking about is just open communication, honest communication, especially if they are your top choice and you want to get that through to them.
Definitely.
But yeah, definitely, I mean, deadlines can be scary for you, but important for the recruiter, the hiring manager to know.
Exactly. Yeah, so along the lines of follow-up, another piece of follow-up that's really relevant right now is post-career fair follow-up. So we just had our career fair last week. Hopefully you all went and met with some employers and grabbed business cards, and since then have been following up. If not, now is the time. It is now the time. Take those business cards and think back to what you spoke about with those employers, and send those emails saying, you know, it was a pleasure speaking with you at the fair last week. I really enjoyed learning about the blah, blah, blah position, or this about the company. Just, you know, mention one thing that you spoke about. Say, I'm really interested in your spring co-op position for project management. Here is my application materials attached. You know, it doesn't have to be a three, four paragraph long cover letter. It can just be a quick paragraph follow-up email, but make sure to include your application materials as well, so again, they don't have to go searching for it.
Exactly. And this also, it, like Rhea said, it doesn't have to be a cover letter length formal document. It should be in an email format, but also more formal than maybe, say, a follow-up email to an application. You want to include the contact, their name, their address, and a dear with their salutation, last name. Don't say, hi, Mark. And, of course, sincerely, in your name, your contact information, because you do want to, again, follow up on your good, hopefully, it was a good first impression, and they still, you don't want to taint that by sending a less than thought out email.
Great. And so we've got follow up after sending application, follow up from the career fair, follow up towards the end of the process when you're getting offers and want to make sure you're staying in good communication. The other piece of follow up we want to touch upon is follow up post interview. So hopefully all of you know that once you interview with a company, you must send a follow-up thank you email within 24 hours. That is crucial and is a key part of the decision-making process for employers. We've actually done interviews within our office, and it got down to two candidates. And we were, like, going back and forth, really having a hard time deciding, you know, which candidate we were going to choose. One of the candidates sent thank you emails, and the other one didn't, and that made our decision. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, further down in your job process, thank you emails are crucial. And we have a follow-up thank you email samples on our website as well and on WitWorks, so you can take a look at those. The first one on that handout is for the within 24 hours, and the second one is, you know, a few weeks after you've interviewed. Because, again, when you're interviewing, you know, you need to do some follow-up right after the interview, and then if you don't hear back, you know, further down the road as well. So in the interview process, at the end of the interview, you have an opportunity to ask questions. And so you want to ask, you know, as one of your last questions, you know, what is the next steps in the process? Or when should I expect to hear from you? Something like that. So that, you know, after sending that 24-hour thank you email, you know, if they said they were going to get back to you within 2 weeks and you don't hear back, that's a good opportunity for you to reach back out and just say, hey, you know, I'm still really interested in this position. You know, I think I bring these skills to the table. It would be a really great fit for your organization. I just want to check in and see where you were at in the hiring process.
Exactly. And you did mention this, but I kind of do want to go over again. So we want to talk about a timeline for when these different follow-up scenarios need to happen. So a follow-up after your application can happen any time after around the two-week mark.
Yeah, as it gets closer to the deadline, I'd say maybe just 1 week mm-hmm. after you apply, depending on where you are. But yeah, 2 to 3 weeks, beginning of the kind of the hiring process.
Exactly. And the follow-up that is sent after an interview should be within a 24-hour window. Like Rhea mentioned, if it's down to the final candidates and the hiring manager is trying to make a decision soon, and they don't hear from you within that window, you might have missed it. So sooner rather than later on that. And then
actually, I want to add something. Yes. However, if you had an interview and you forget to send a thank you email within that 24-hour window and it's a couple days later, send it as soon as you remember, because mm-hmm. they may not have made a decision by then. And if you send one and someone else doesn't at all, that still makes a better impression.
Absolutely. And right now, for those employers that you met at Career Fair, like Rhea said, if you still haven't sent anything, send it right now.
That's right.
That's great. All right. I think we're getting close to the time. Is there anything we missed?
Not that I can think of.
All righty. Well, then just a little bit of our general housekeeping at the end of a show. We tell you what's coming up for events. So on... our next major event for our office is in 2 weeks, actually. It's on October 22nd. It's mock interview day from 3 to 6 in Watson Auditorium. By tomorrow morning, you're going to be able to log into WitWorks and select an interview time that works for you with an employer that hires your major. Your co-op and career advisor is going to show you how to do this if you're attending Co-op Institute. And we also have a great tutorial uploaded on our student event information page on the website. So if you just click over to event information on coopsandcareers.wit.edu, you'll see a little PDF that walks you through how to sign up. We use the same system that we actually use for employers to select interview candidates for on-campus recruiting. So when they're coming to campus to interview you here at Wentworth, this is the same system that you would be using. So we wanted to give you some practice on how to sign up for an on-campus interview at the same time. So that is mock interview day.
That's great. It's a really great event. And I strongly encourage students to sign up because it's a chance for you to practice interviewing with an actual employer where there's not really much at stake. You sit down one-on-one with an employer, they ask you some practice questions, you answer them, and then you get a chance to kind of debrief with them at the end. So definitely take advantage of this.
Great. And then we've got some Co-op Institute Plus, which start, we have one tomorrow that is very relevant. If you're looking to take a deep dive into your cover letter, then you should check out the session tomorrow from 12 to 1.
Yep, in Wentworth 206 with Professor Rosales. It's going to be a cover letter deep dive. Really great for you. A little bit more information about those co-op, those cover letters that we mentioned today. And then after mock interview day, I'm actually giving a presentation on next level LinkedIn. So if you have a LinkedIn profile and want to just kind of take it to the next level, join me October 24th from 12 to 1 in Wentworth 307. And then October 30th, we have a workshop on conflict mediation and navigating difficult conversations in the workplace. And that would be also 12 to 1 in Wentworth 206. And then for all those computer science, computer engineering majors, Hack the Technical interview will be October 29th from 4 to 5 in Wentworth 307. We'll actually have employers here on campus talking about how to be successful during a technical interview.
This is an awesome workshop series you all are putting on.
I agree. And it's open to all students. No, you don't have to be signed up for Co-op Institute to, and you can just show up. You don't have to register for those workshops.
Oh, great. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think those are all of our events.
That is.
That we know of.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. You can follow us on Twitter, at Wit Co-ops Careers, same on Instagram.
Oh, NewCo.
Oh, yeah. Next week is NewCo.
October 17th. So MassTLC puts on a one-day event. It's from 8:30 to about 5:30. And students can register to visit, you know, a bunch of different tech companies in Boston on their NewCo Boston website. It is student tickets are $20, but if you are interested in that, you can go ahead and sign up on their website.
Perfect. Great. I think that's everything.
It is. And if you have any questions about anything that we said today, of course, you can always stop by our office. It's 101 Wentworth Hall, right across from admissions. You can make an appointment with your advisor, or you can come to drop-in hours, which are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1:30 to 4 p.m. in our office.
Happening right now.
Excellent. All right, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.